sitting in the Dorset pub in the North Lanes of Brighton, and I'm talking to Adam Leroy, who owns a shop which sells mod gear. Is that right?
That is right, yes.
And Adam, what I want you to tell me is, what exactly is a mod?
It's the very early 60s, came off the back of the jazz scene in the late 50s. It was, nowadays, it's very much about it's about clothes, it's about music, it's also, it's kind of a philosophy though as well. It's very much about how you think, how you live, really.
But what is this philosophy? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's kind of... It's really difficult
is
nowadays.
It is
very British.
Very British.
It was a time in the late 50s, early 60s where people were looking towards the continent and looking towards just things that weren't so fuddy-duddy in Britain. I mean, you've got to remember, there were Teddy Boys, just. And then the mod stuff was very much influenced from Europe and a little bit of Ivy League from the States. And people were fed up. You know, it's kind of still kind of post-war, you know, I mean, late 50s. And I think the Italian thing and the American soul coming over, the R&B scene, it's all of that.
So it's sort of very foreign influence, but you also have things like the Spitfire symbol, Target symbols and things like that, didn't you?
Well, that was later, really.
Oh, was it?
I mean, that's pop art. I mean, it was basically a roundel, off an RAF roundel, but that's just pop art. I think Peter Blake was responsible for using that, and it just became... the symbol of mod, but I think that wasn't in the early 60s. Although Keith Moon used to, he used to wear a Target t-shirt, but again, they were kind of late. They were 60, you're talking 63, 64, 65, whereas true mod was kind of 59, 60,
late
61.
Late 50s, early 60s, right.
And then it diluted a little bit, and then everyone thinks Mary Quant and a Target t-shirt is mod, but for us, it's definitely an earlier scene.
And the reason we're talking at all is because this August Bank Holiday is the 50th anniversary
of
the famous Battle of Brighton.
Yes.
And could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I wasn't there. I don't think it was as much as a battle as everyone makes out.
No, don't say that. Exaggerate.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
No, let's hear. Do you know how many people were involved?
No, I mean, it's easy to look at. You can see photographs of people along the seafront and, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mods and lots of rockers and stuff. I think the actual battleground was kind of relatively small. And if you talk to local coppers and stuff, they were like, it's not like nowadays. I mean, everyone, you know, there was always a bit of a punch-up and stuff, but it's never that terrible. So I don't think it was as awful. For the time, it was a disaster. Yeah, you've got to remember that was a long time ago. So 64, having thousands of people descend upon the town and kind of all chanting and rioting. So
and of course, we were just coming up to the 1968 was the year of riots across Europe. So there must have been that sort of tension beginning to build, establishment versus youth.
Yeah, somehow I think kind of Paris 68 and Brighton 64 don't really connect that well. It's a nice thought, but no.
Shut up.
You can use whatever, you can do what you like.
So
with
tell
that,
me but. About, from the Brighton point of view, what's it left with Brighton?
There's a history in Brighton because of it, definitely. I think there wasn't for a long time, but I think because there's been a kind of mod revival since the kind of mid-90s, when Britpop happened and then the mod thing got relaunched. And we were here in the early 90s, so we kind of helped it along because there was nowhere else to go for it. And Brighton kind of lives a little bit off the fact that it has that kind of mod 60s, you know, it's kind of fun. It's a beautiful town. And I don't know, why do people are obsessed with the mod thing? Just because it's 60s, everyone loves the 60s stuff. It was kind of a time of, well, in the south of England anyway, it was a time of boom and prosperity and excitement. And even now, people who are getting into the mod scene, they're looking for something like that as well, I think. Even nowadays, you know, things have blended into kind of this normal mush. And
bland.
It is a bit. And in a way, it's good because you don't get the riots, because there isn't, even from the early 80s, there used to be all that youth culture thing and everyone was kind of, you know, against each other. And now everyone kind of has a bit of everything, which is kind of nice.
Including music.
Including music, which all mushes into one old nonsense. Which is kind of good because the aggression is gone. However, the aggression that wasn't even that terrible, even in the early 80s, because that has gone, the kind of edginess of the youth culture has disappeared as well. There used to be punks and skinheads and mods, and, you know, and everyone used to kind of have a bit of a push around and run away from each other, you know. But now it's kind of, that's kind of gone. And I think people getting into the mod scene now are looking for something that's just a bit more stylized and cool and often British and a bit more traditional. And now wearing a suit, shirt and tie and looking sharp is different. Whereas, you know, I mean, in the revival, it, I don't know, I mean, it's just, no one does it anymore. Whereas back in the early days, in the very early, in the late, in the 50s, everyone wore a shirt and tie to go to the football.
So it was the type of suit you were wearing that differentiated?
Then, in the 60s, it was definitely the type of suit, definitely. And even by the mid-60s, I think people were getting more casual anyway, so...
So tell me about the look that you've got in the shop.
Early 60s, most of our suits are kind of pure wools or tonic fabric, you know, that has a sheen on it, covered buttons, ticket pockets. But our cut is very early 60s, so we're quite short jackets. We're fitted, but not overly waisted. It became like that a little bit later on in the mid-60s, and, you know, then it got a bit more dandy.
And you've got the narrow knitted ties.
Yeah, narrow knitted ties, button-down shirts, but with very slim fit.
And when did the Parker thing come in? Was that a bit later?
Well, that was there early.
That was there early.
But it was really... It was only there as a kind of cheap coat to go over your suit to stop you getting covered in rubbish. You know, I mean, it was like a protection. They weren't all covered in patches and targets and stuff like that.
And the women, if I was dressed as a mod woman now, what would I be wearing?
Now? It depends what...
No, not
what
now.
Time
then,
of mod.
Then. If I was an early mod.
Yeah, they didn't look great.
Oh, yeah. What did they wear?
You know, they looked a bit like their grandma, really.
Oh, sort of frumpy 50s.
Yeah. Knee-high socks and kind of tweed kind of pencil skirts and twin sets and... They weren't, it wasn't that glamorous. It was very much a bloke peacocky thing.
So move me on to glamour for the
world. It happened, really, I think. Well, if you look at photographs, it's not until kind of the Quanti kind of era and the 62, 63, 64, and then the Carnaby Street thing. That's when girls suddenly, there were short skirts and bob haircuts and, you know, I think 59, 60, the women's lib of wearing mini skirts wasn't there yet. It's still the 50s, remember? You know, it was all off the back of the 50s. It was different then.
Are there any bits of Brighton now that would be recognisable from the early 60s?
Well, it's a Regency town, so there's lots of stuff that was
there. But in terms
there.
Of shops and restaurant cafes, pubs, is there anything left?
Well, this place was here.
Was it?
Well, it was standing. It was built in 18 God knows what. I bet it was probably open as a pub. But, and all the pubs would have been here, but I don't know, I mean...
Any record shops left?
No, I don't think there are any record shops that have been left that long.
And now, no, I bet this is going to make you really cross, but tell me about Quadrophenia.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with Quadrophenia. It was great. I've seen it a million times. It was actually quite a good film. I mean, it is what it was like. Most of it was filmed in Eastbourne, of course. Less traffic and a bit less up, you know, modern, because it was late 70s. You know, there's lots of scenes in that just aren't Brighton, and we get people coming to look, you know, oh, where's that bit? It's like miles away. It was a good film. It caught the soul. That was very much, it was trying to catch the soul and the heart of what the mod spirit was about. A lot of people see it as just some sort of youth film and, you know, all riding down, but the whole character of Jimmy, and he was really living a different kind of life. And I think if you really see what he's, because it's Quadrophenia, it was about the split personality and trying to be someone different, not trying to be like everyone else, living as best he could, you know, working as a postboy,
there's your radio from the
yeah,
shop.
So, yeah. There's a few. But, you know, suddenly on the weekend he was living for, you know, looking sharp. He was doing the best he could. And looking different, looking great, and feeling good. But the whole mod thing is very much about how you feel and how you think as well. It's not trying to be old. Well, nowadays it might be. It's not about trying to be old fashioned, it's just about the